the 10-4 show on Channel 9. In this week's episode, I want to take you through a quick tour of the new programming language features coming in Visual Basic 10. No slides or anything, let's just go dive straight into the code and have some fun. So here I am, I've opened up Visual Studio 2010, and I am running this on the CTP, so if any of you at home actually want to play along with this, feel free to open up the CTP and actually write some of this code yourself as I'm moving along. In this example, I actually have a set of test scores that I want to determine who has actually passed the test. I'm going to have a couple people that are obviously failing the test. Yeah, they didn't exactly know what they were taking a test for or something. And then some people that are failing, including one who is obviously head of the class. Let's actually determine those who are passing by saying scores where, and I'm going to do a lambda expression where I'm going to pass in the score, and you can see it uses the type inference to know that score is an integer. I'm going to say where score is greater than or equal to 60. And already you will have noticed that I'm using a new feature in Visual Basic 10 that's multi-line lambda support. So I have the ability to actually now spread an inline lambda across multiple lines. And not only that, but you'll actually see there's no line continuation characters. So this is also showing off the implicit line continuation that has been improved and built into Visual Basic 10. And then finally, I'm going to go ahead and make this a list that I'm returning, so it'll evaluate the link expression. And then just for each of them, here I have an action, so I'm going to say a sub and pass in the score, and I'm just going to print it. So print the score. Once again, you can see the multi-line lambda support, the implicit line continuations. But here it is. We also have statement lambda support in Visual Basic 10. So now, instead of having to wrap everything in a function that potentially returns a dummy value that I ignore, I have the ability of using the sub keyword now to have statement lambdas directly in Visual Basic. This is a very cool addition, and it's certainly making using APIs that make heavy leverage of lambdas like Link and like the new parallel extensions to the .NET framework and so on a lot easier than it potentially would have been before. Let's go ahead and run this. So I'm going to save it and go ahead and run. And as it runs, you'll see that it'll print out the passing scores, 76 and 100, exactly what we wanted. So that's good. Once again, this initializing the array, that's kind of verbose. So another feature that's actually coming in Visual Basic 10 that I want to show you is array literals. So instead of this dim scores as integer, I can actually say dim scores, and then I can say equals, and then specify some scores. And you can see we're still passing. I can still build successfully, and if I run it, you can see it returns the correct result, 72 and 100. Well, that certainly improves the code, makes it a lot more concise. Array literals are very cool. Let's show off another feature. This 60, I don't like this magical 60 that's there. So I'm going to go ahead and use another feature called auto properties to get rid of that magical 60 value down there. So I'm going to say property failing score as integer. And that's all I'm going to do. And down here, let's go ahead and specify the value here. It's 60. And then here I can go ahead and replace that with failing score. Go ahead and save it and build it. You can see it builds successfully. And if we run it, we get the values that we expect. So it still works. But this is a pattern. This is very common in C#, where you have an auto property and then you initialize the auto property in your constructor or something else. That's kind of a hassle. I want to show you something that as a C# developer, the C# developer in me is actually jealous of this feature. I can actually come up here and say as integer and immediately initialize it up here without having to initialize it later in a constructor or in my main method or anything like that. You can see it still builds. And when we run it, it still succeeds, 72 and 100. So not only the ability of declaring auto properties here, but also the ability of specifying default values for auto properties. It's very powerful. Now I'm going to actually get rid of this code, and let's dive into the array literal some more. One of the other things that I like about this, if I actually hover over here, you may or may not be able to see this. You can see dim scores as integer array, so it actually is able to infer all that. But you can do all sorts of other stuff with the array literals. Let's say I want some coordinates. So I can actually do embedded ones where I can say, okay, this is one coordinate, then I have this coordinate, and then maybe I have this other coordinate. So an array of x, y values, perhaps. And you can see I hover over that, and it actually determines that it's a two-dimensional array. So that's very cool, very powerful. But let's say I want jagged arrays. Well, jagged arrays aren't that hard either. I'm just going to surround these with parentheses. And after I surround these with parentheses, if I actually hover over coordinates, you can see now it actually detects it as a jagged array. So that's pretty cool. But that's only the tip of the iceberg, folks. Let's actually dive into collection initializers. So let's say I want a list of string, perhaps it's names. I can say as new list of string, and then from, and then specify perhaps Jason and Drew. You can see that works. Now what this does under the hood is it essentially calls into list.add, so names.add, names.add, and so on, specifying the from values. But it's not limited to just lists. Let's say I actually want a dictionary. So I'm going to say names as new dictionary, and let's make it of integer as some type of ID and string. I'm going to specify from again, and then down here, I'm going to go ahead and do this where I'm going to say, okay, one is Jason, I'm going to say two is Drew, and then of course I can keep on taking that on and on. And you can see that also works. So that's very cool. That's an easy way to initialize collections and so on. But that's not where it stops. There's actually some more stuff that we can do that's even more powerful. So let's go ahead and let's say we have customers. If we take a look at this, I have a class customer that just has ID, first name, and last name. Let's go ahead and initialize a list of customers. So let's say dim cust equal, or excuse me, as new list of customer, I'm going to say from, and let's go ahead, remember there was ID, first name, and last name. So let's do Jason Olson. So we have the ID, first name, and last name. Let's do it again to Drew Robbins. Correct my missing quote there. Well, you can see that even works. Let's compile it. You can see it succeeded. Well, how does this work? Obviously, the add doesn't know about it, but if we go into these customer extensions, I essentially have an extension to list that I've created that accepts ID, first name, and last name. And then it'll just add by newing up a customer with those values. So by creating this extension method to our list of customer, the compiler actually knows now when I use this from and I initialize this via collection initializers, it looks for essentially an add method that it can use with three parameters, which is exactly what we declared. So that's a very flexible way of being able to even dig in and be able to easily plug into your own collection initializers that you actually want to use when you're kind of newing up these new custom objects that you may actually have. Now, some features I'm not going to show off here, but I'll actually dive into in potential future episodes, is know that because of this co-evolution that is happening between Visual Basic and C-sharp that we've discussed before, you can expect to see some of these new innovations coming in both languages. So let's say we've talked about generic variance and generic, generic variance when it comes to covariance and contravariance. Well, that's also supported directly in Visual Basic 10, as one would expect. And then also dynamic language interop. VBE developers can continue using the late binding capabilities that they already have in the Visual Basic language. And essentially, that late binding in Visual Basic 10 has been updated to be DLR aware, so that you can use that normal late binding that you use today in order to, let's say, interop with Iron Python or Iron Ruby or COMObjects or so on, and use the DLR for the actual dynamic dispatch that happens at runtime. There's actually blog posts that you can find out there on the VB blog, the VB team blog, as well as some other blogs out there that will show you generic variants, so covariance and contravariance, in use from Visual Basic. So I encourage you to go ahead and take a look at that. I hope you enjoy some of this new stuff and this quick look at it. So let's go ahead and call it a day and go close out the show. So, I hope you all enjoyed this quick look at the Visual Basic programming language and the new features coming in Visual Basic 10. In next week's 10.4 episode, Drew is going to stop by again and show us some of the new features coming around web deployment and web deployment integration directly in Visual Studio 2010. Until next time, we'll see you all later.